I want to turn your attention to Psalm 23. Psalm 23. There we read, "The Lord is my shepherd." I'll stop there just for a moment. You will notice that the word Lord is in all capitals, not just capital L, but all the letters are in caps. There's a reason for this. In the Old Testament, when you read it in the Hebrew, it doesn't say, "The Lord is my shepherd." It says, "Yahweh is my shepherd." And Yahweh is the name that God gave for himself. That is his name. Just like John or Mary is your name, God gave himself the name Yahweh. So whenever in the Old Testament you see in our English translation, all in caps, it is actually Yahweh, not Lord. Now you may wonder, why did they translate it that way? There's a reason for it. The Jews were terrified that they might take the name of the Lord in vain, breaking the commandment which says, "You shall not take the name of the Lord of Yahweh. You shall not take the name of Yahweh, your God, in vain. God will punish them." And so they were terrified that if they ever said Yahweh, or if they read the Old Testament, their scriptures, that if they would pronounce the name of Yahweh, they might not be quite in the right frame of mind. And perhaps they didn't take it reverently enough and misused it in some way. And so as not to become guilty of that commandment, whenever they came to the word Yahweh, they said Lord, Adonai in Hebrew. So they would read, "Adonai is my shepherd." And the English then has followed that. That is how it was translated originally into the Septuagint. That was the Greek translation of the Old Testament. And so that is how it comes. For example, you will find that there are some English translations that will depart from this, and they will translate, "Yahweh is my shepherd." And so that is just for an explanation, because we'll come to that just a little later on. This is such a familiar psalm, I think it would be wonderful if we read it together. Shall we? Read it with me. "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Now, I'm indebted to David Gibson and his book, The Lord of Psalm 23, for my entire thought process on my sermon. So I want to give credit to him. I was very grateful. And by the way, if any of you want to read what I consider might be the best book on Psalm 23, this is it. It's called The Lord of Psalm 23 by David Gibson, a British writer. Now, Psalm 23 tells of God's care. This is how I would summarize the psalm. Psalm 23 tells of God's care as he leads his children through the journey of this life to their eternal home. We will lack nothing We will need nothing to get there. Now, that is a wonderful thought. That is the whole psalm summarized. God is our shepherd. He is leading us on a journey, the journey of our life. And that journey has a destination. That destination is home. And to get there, we will lack nothing that lets us get there. Nothing will come in the way. He will allow nothing to interfere to get us there. And those of you who know the New Testament immediately can think of a number of passages which speak of God's faithfulness to bring His people home. It's in His hands. It's in His sovereign doing. And this psalm speaks about that. Verse 1 is a summary of the entire psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. In this journey of life, His sheep lack nothing to reach the goal that God has for them, the home. The rest of the psalm, verses 2 to 6, spell out the details of this one statement. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. Luther said that this psalm is a little Bible. I found that interesting when I first read that. God as shepherd who cares for the needs of His sheep, of His people. That's what the psalm depicts. It depicts God as shepherd who cares for the needs of His sheep. It depicts God as a traveler companion through the dark valleys of our life. And it depicts God as host when we have reached our home. Marvelous, isn't it? And you can immediately see how this is fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. So that is what Luther calls the Bible in summary. This morning, I will focus on who this shepherd is. And this afternoon, we will look at the rest of the psalm on how he does this. So this morning, the focus is on verse 1. Who is our shepherd? The question comes to mind is this. Is it true that if the Lord is your shepherd, you will lack nothing in the journey of life towards your home? Is it true? Can you count on that? Will you really lack nothing to bring you home? And to answer that question, we must ask, well, who is this Lord? Who is this shepherd? Can I trust Him? Does He have the means to fulfill His promise? Does He have the power to carry them out? Is He the kind of God who is true to His word? Can He be counted on in the most difficult and trying circumstances? Is there evidence for this? Can we trust Him? Can we really say, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing? That's a powerful statement. And some of you are thinking back in your own life in all the many ways in which you thought, how can I get through this? How can I manage this? How can I handle this? How can I take care of this? And there are myriads of those. And as you get older, they just multiply. You know, ask Dave Backer with the diagnosis of cancer if he hasn't asked himself, how can I get through this? And I'll tell you, the evidence, as we will see, of our God is He will lead him home. And nothing, devils or demons, will be able to do to thwart that. He will lead him home. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. You see, we must be careful when we look at this word, I lack nothing, that we don't think of it in temporal things. We have to understand it in the context of the psalm. It has a destination, and the destination is home. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And from here to there, for the shepherd to lead me there, I lack nothing. Absolutely nothing. That is the point of verse 1. So who is this shepherd? The first question we want to ask, from where does David get this metaphor of shepherd? The Lord is my shepherd. Where does he take that metaphor from? The most obvious thing that comes to our mind is, well, David was a shepherd. So he probably is taking it from his own experience. That seems logical. But it's not quite, I don't think that's quite what David has in mind. I don't think that's what he's thinking of. David isn't thinking, the way I shepherded my sheep, that's how God shepherds me. That's how God shepherds his people. We might come short a little bit with that kind of a shepherd, don't you think? No, David has something else in mind. David knew his Bible, the Old Testament. And he took that idea, that metaphor of God is my shepherd, from the whole Exodus experience, how God led his people from Egypt through the desert home into the promised land. Have a look at a few scripture passages. Psalm 77, verse 19 to 20. There it describes God leading Israel out of Egypt. It says, your paths through the sea, your way through the mighty waters, though your footprints were not seen. Now notice the next line. You led your people like a flock. God was Israel's shepherd. Out of Egypt, through the Red Sea, through the wilderness, through the Jordan. And he provided everything along the way they needed to get there. He held to his promise, the promise he made to Abram, Isaac, and Jacob. Psalm 78, verse 51 to 54. There we read, he struck down all the firstborn of Egypt, the first fruit of manhood in the tents of Ham. But now listen to this. But he brought his people out like a flock. He led them like sheep through the wilderness. He guided them safely so they were unafraid. That is where he gets the metaphor from. God led his people like a shepherd. He brought them home. He brought them into the promised land. And that's where he takes this whole idea from, like he did it to his people. I am one of his people. He is doing it to me. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. In the words of David Gibson, this is what Gibson says. When the Bible puts the Exodus, the great event of Israel's redemption, on Instagram, what do we see? A divine shepherd leading his flock of under-shepherds and sheep through terrible danger to complete safety. God is a shepherd. That is the story that Psalm 23 depicts. God taking his people, leading them through the journey of life, with all its difficulties, pain, wants, and terrors, with all the opposition of the enemy, with all the devils arrayed against him to keep it from happening. But he will successfully lead them home. And nothing will come in the way. they will lack nothing in getting there. This is what undergirds David's confidence in the Lord as his shepherd. God led the people out of captivity through terrible dangers where he supplied everything, everything they needed, and brought them home. If he has done that in the past, he can be trusted to do that now. What kind of a shepherd is God? This is the kind he is. What gives us confidence that God, the Lord Jesus Christ, can lead us through this earthly veil to our heavenly home? God is able, God is dependable, and God is unchanging. So we ask the question next, taken from what we've already seen, is God, is Yahweh, the Lord, able to do that? When God called Moses to lead the people out of Egypt, he appeared to Moses in a burning bush, Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 to 3. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. Fire needs fuel. It can't burn without fuel. Try it. If you light a match, the match is the fuel. And when the match is consumed, the fire goes out. Light a candle. The wax is the fuel. When the wax is all gone, the flame goes out. Fire needs fuel. Now, Moses was looking at this bush and it was burning, and perhaps at first, okay, something caught the bush on fire. But as he noticed longer, the bush wasn't burning up. The bush stayed there. There was fire in the bush, and the bush was not burnt up. And that caught his curiosity. And so he went to inspect it. Now, the reason God appeared to Moses this way, when he was about to call Moses to bring his people out of Egypt, to lead them through the wilderness into the promised land, when he gave him that commission, that mission, God appeared to him in a manner which was to say to Moses, I'm able. I don't need you. I don't need anyone else. My fire burns from within its own energy. It doesn't need outside help. No matter how big Pharaoh is, no matter how powerful his army is, no matter how insignificant the slaves of Egypt are, those were the Israelites, they were subdued, they were slaves under pressure. No matter, I'm able. Because I don't depend on Pharaoh. In fact, I'm going to harden his heart so he will not let the people go, and demonstrate by that I have the power to make him let the people go. And he says, I'm going to do that in order to declare my glory throughout all the world. When the nations will see what has happened, they will say, wow, what kind of a God is Yahweh, the God of the Israelites, that he subdued such a powerful monarch like Pharaoh? So I will harden his heart for this very purpose. I don't want him out of his self-will to let the people go. I will make him by my power. That is the God Yahweh is. Have a look at Exodus chapter 3, verse 4 to 8. He is utterly dependable. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called him from within the bush. Moses, Moses. Moses said, here I am. Do not come closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abram, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I've heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I'm concerned about their suffering. So I've come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them out of the land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey. Now, there are three things that God tells Moses about himself here that are significant, which tells Moses that God is dependable. God is not only able, he is dependable. The three are this. I am the God of your father, the God of Abram, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. What is he saying there when he says, I am the God of Abram, Isaac, and Jacob? He says, I am the God who remembers my covenant, who remembers my promises, who remembers what I said I would do. He came to Abram and promised Abram the land of Canaan. Every foot, every step, every place you walk, I will give it to you and your descendants. He made that promise to Jacob, and he made that promise to Isaac. That is the promise. Now, God says, the one who promised that to your fathers, that's who I am. I don't forget my promises. I am that God. Secondly, he is the God who sees the needs of his people. I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. Have you ever thought God has forgotten you? Have you ever thought, does God see my plight? Have you ever wondered if God sees your misery? Does God remember? 400 years had passed. 400, that's not a short time. And then God comes and says, I remember. I see the plight of my people. I've seen it all along. And now the time is right to lead them out of their misery. God is the God who remembers, who sees the plight of his people. He is the God who rescues his people and brings them home. He says, I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them out of the land into a good and spacious land flowing with milk and honey. This is our God. And if you trust the Lord Jesus Christ, this is your God. And when you are in darkness, then remember, this is your God. When you feel in despair, then remember, this is your God. He remembers his promise. He sees your plight, and he will bring you home. There is no doubt, no question about that. Further, we see that he is the unchangeable. Yahweh is the unchangeable I am. In Exodus chapter 3, verses 13 to 14, Moses says to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and I say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me. That's the God of promise. He has sent you. And they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? God says to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent you. Now this may sound somewhat cryptic to us. But what God is saying to Moses is, I am the eternal I am. What I was yesterday, I am now. What I will be, I am now. In other words, I don't change. We change. You and I are not the same that we were 10 years ago. Hopefully we've matured more. We are not the same. We will not be the same 10 years hence. We will have changed. We will have changed our minds about many things. Hopefully we've gotten wiser. Perhaps when we look at some people, they've become more stupid, more foolish. But we change. We don't stay the same. God doesn't. The way he was to Abram, Isaac, and Jacob, that's the way he is to Moses. That's the way he is to the children of Israel. And that's the way he is to us. So when we read the Old Testament, for example, and we read all the stories, sometimes you ask yourself, what are we to make of this? And one of the things we are to make of it, we are to see what God is like. Because what he was like in the Old Testament, he is exactly the same today. The revelation has progressed, and through Jesus Christ, we see more and see more clearly, but no change. Was he faithful? He is faithful. Is he a God who will not overlook the punishment of the wicked? He won't overlook it now. Was he a God of love? He is one now. God does not change. He is unchangeable. In the words of Gibson, he says, doesn't this help us see how incredible it is that the Lord should be our shepherd? I believe the point of this revelation of who God is to Moses was precisely to assure him that the impossible was about to happen for God's people in Egypt. Because the infinite, eternal God had come to lead them home. It is because of who God is that the Exodus happened at all and why it succeeds. He is the all-powerful one. And I add, it is because who God is to us in Jesus Christ that he will lead his children home. Nothing has changed. He is the same. I will flesh the rest of it out of the psalm in this afternoon. The shepherd of Psalm 23 is the shepherd of his people today. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who came down to rescue us from the slavery of sin. He is the one who supplies all our needs during this journey home. And he is the one who is preparing a home for his people and will take us to be with him eternally. And everything that is needed to get us there, he supplied. Nothing will be lacking. When I read this, I think of John chapter 14, the first four verses where Jesus says, don't let your heart be troubled. Is it ever troubled? Is your heart ever troubled? He says, don't. Not because you won't have troubles and tribulations here. Not because you won't have pain here. Not because you'll never suffer hunger here. No, not that. Because I'm going to prepare a home for you. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a home for you. But that's not all. And if I go and prepare a home for you, I will come again and receive you so that where I am, there you may be also home. Home. Psalm 23 has a home in mind, and our shepherd leads us there. Jesus takes the words of Psalm 23 and applies them to himself in John chapter 10, verse 11. He says, I am the good shepherd. Jesus identifies himself with Yahweh, with the name of God. He says, the God that appeared to Moses in the burning bush in John chapter 8, 58, he says, very truly, I tell you, before Abram was, I am. That is how the Lord said Moses was to reveal himself to his people. Tell them, I am sent you. Jesus says, before Abram was, I am. Not I was, I am. He is Yahweh. He is the great I am. There we read from the Apostle Peter, chapter 1, verses 3 to 9. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. This is the Apostle Peter's exposition of Psalm 23. Do you notice that? This is his exposition of Psalm 23. There he says, deliverance. There's deliverance. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. There's a new home. He says, an inheritance that can never perish or spoil or fade. Do you see the overtones from Psalm 23? Security during our journey to our home, shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. The Lord Jesus is our shepherd, and we shall lack nothing that is required to get home. Do you believe that? Nothing. And as we shall see this afternoon, it is not because of what he sees in us. It is not because how good we are. It is not because how faithful we are. The Apostle Paul says, even though I grow faithless, do you know what the next statement is? He remains faithful. Why? Because he sees something in me? No, because what is in God. He says, because he cannot deny himself. He cannot deny who he is, a faithful God, a God who keeps his promises. Oh, how many times have I been faithless? Can you say that too? Yes, we say it to our shame. How many times have I fallen into sin? But that is not what is dependent on God leading us home. It depends on him. He can be counted on. What our job is, trust him for everything he says. Believe in him, and he will bring you home. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, what a great God you are. Yahweh, the great I am, the one who's able, the one who's faithful, the one who can be trusted to do everything you've said. And to prove that, not only did you bring the Israelites out of Egypt, but to prove that you gave your only son on the cross and demonstrated your power that through him you would do what could not be otherwise done. Even at the cost of your son, you bring us home. That's how great your faithfulness is. Encourage every heart and every soul this morning that is in despair. You will bring them home. Amen.